The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome everybody. So today I'd like to talk a little bit more about compassion, and I'm going to talk about compassion for ourselves. And many of you may know that Kristen Neff does something on self-compassion, and I'm not going to do quite that. It's beautiful what Kristen Neff and Chris Germer have been doing, and they're certainly influenced by the Buddhist teachings. But in the classic Buddhist teachings, self-compassion is not distinguished from compassion in general. But of course, it's helpful to highlight the importance of self-compassion, because maybe we could use a corrective, the corrective for this prevalence of self-criticism. How often and how easy and how it might even seem natural, and of course I'm beating myself up. You know, you might not even notice that there's an alternative, or might not even be aware that an alternative is possible. A way that there's a kind of society kind of promotes, or socialization promotes in some kind of way, this idea of the inner critic being loud and active and believable. So as you know, the practice of compassion is about when loving kindness meets suffering. And I'm using this word suffering as a really generic word that means the whole range, very subtle difficulties to unbearable difficulties. Kind of this Buddhist word dukkha, or suffering, I'm using as a stand-in for that whole range. And so practice of self-compassion includes turning towards our own difficulties, and not just turning towards them willy-nilly, but in a way in which we embrace it with feelings of care and this feeling of connected presence, in a way that's like showing up for ourselves, and not abandoning ourselves, but also with a warm-heartedness and a sincere wish that the difficulties might end, but not in a way that includes any hostility or like these have to end. I want these to get away from me. So these difficulties, they might include mind states that might be a little bit maybe not so obvious. Maybe they're so familiar that we don't notice them all the time, any feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness, or maybe there's a comparing mind where we are assessing ourselves in terms of others. Or maybe we are assessing ourselves in terms of a younger version of ourselves. And of course, when we do this, when we compare ourselves, we see ourselves as inferior, superior, or equal. And in the Buddhist teachings, all three of those outcomes are suffering. Maybe it's a little bit more subtle, but it's just that act of comparing, trying to evaluate our value or our success, or evaluate ourselves in relationship to anybody else. Just that act is a type of suffering and constriction and limiting. So the difficulties might include emotions. Maybe there's anger sometimes. It feels like it's going to burn us up. Or maybe there's sadness sometimes that feels like it's going to swallow us up. And so with compassion practice, when we have compassion for ourselves, we all know how to do this, that we treat ourselves like we would treat a good friend. Like we would, somebody that we cared for and respected and honored and loved, how would we treat that person? We would do the same for ourselves. And I've told this story a number of times. Kristen Neff I don't remember where she said this. It might be, I don't remember exactly where, but she gives this little scenario that I found really powerful. So I'll share it here. Imagine that a close friend calls you after you just got dumped by your partner. And you respond by saying, "Wow, to be perfectly honest, he probably left you because you're old, ugly, and boring, and you're needy and dependent, and you're a bit overweight, and I'd just give up now because there's really no hope of finding anyone who will ever love you. I mean, frankly, you don't deserve it. I mean, wow, gosh, it's just so painful even for me to say this out loud. Of course we wouldn't say that to somebody. Of course we wouldn't say that. But sometimes we find ourselves having a little bit of that attitude towards ourselves, a little bit of that kind of beating ourselves up or allowing those types of thoughts to run away and take on some authority. But self-compassion, compassion for ourselves, it motivates us to make changes in our lives, not because we are inadequate. Not because we're inadequate, but because we care about ourselves and we wish to lessen our suffering. So compassion for ourselves can really be a motivating, but not because it comes from a sense of lack, it comes from a sense of love. And then maybe I'll just say a few words about compassion for oneself is not the same as being self-indulgent. And it might be that we have to explore this a little bit and experience this for ourselves. But compassion for oneself inclines us towards long-term health, long-term well-being. It's not about short-term pleasure. And compassion for ourselves increases our capacity to be with difficulties, our own difficulties certainly, but also with others. But it doesn't isolate us and it doesn't pretend difficulties aren't there. And maybe I'll just say that having compassion for oneself allows oneself to really flourish in a way and to be the best version of ourself. And when scientists look at these things, they measure that, oh, people who have compassion for themselves tend to exercise more, tend to eat well, tend to go to the doctor more regularly, tend to take some little bit more risks in their professional and personal lives. So they have more richness in their personal and professional lives because they're not so afraid of making a mistake because they know how to take care of themselves if a mistake is made. So that's my kind of introduction to this idea and compassion for ourselves. And this is a practice. This is definitely a practice, like all these things that we're doing here in Happy Hour. So I'll lead us through some practices here. We won't jump right in with self-compassion. We'll work our way towards it. So let's take an alert, upright posture. And just allowing the body and the mind to settle a little bit. Like, yeah, we're here. This is what we're doing. And maybe just doing a general global assessment. Assessment of just what it feels like right now to be embodied. To bring a certain aliveness, a certain presence to the bodily experience. Maybe we'll do a little bit of a body scan to help with the arriving. Checking in with areas at the top of the head, including the face. Back of the head. And the neck. The shoulders, allowing them to slide down the back, shoulder blades. The chest, allowing it to just open a really, really small amount. Can there be a way in which the shoulders move back a little bit in a way that's natural and comfortable? Now a little bit more openness in the chest. Softening the belly. And feeling the connection between the body and whatever it is sitting on, the chair, the cushion, the bench, couch. Feeling the pressure of the legs against whatever is holding the legs up, chair, floor. The arms and the hands. Feeling what the hands are touching. And then allowing the attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Just feeling the movement of the chest or the belly, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. And when the mind wanders, with warmth and gentleness, we just simply begin again. And then to begin with our heart practices, we'll start with a little bit of loving kindness. We'll start where it's easy. Loving kindness for a lovable being. Someone we just can't help but feeling some warm-heartedness and goodwill, benevolence, kindness, care, respect. This might be somebody you know. Maybe it's an imaginary kittens, puppies, babies. Maybe it's somebody that has inspired you and touched you, supported you. Bring an image of them to mind. And connect with your connection, so to speak. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Is there a way in which we can connect and maybe even sink into this goodwill that we have? This love, this kindness, this care. can be helpful to check in with the body. Maybe there are sensations. Maybe there's some warmth in the chest, or maybe a sense of openness or ease, spaciousness. Perfectly fine if there isn't anything in particular. But if there is, can you allow that to support you? And then with this lovable being, you might imagine that, of course, they have difficulties too. Kittens, puppies, and babies, they're reliant on older ones to take care of them. So they don't always have their needs met. People you know or don't even know, of course, sometimes they have disappointment, frustration. Maybe some anxiety at these uncertain times. We don't have to imagine the most difficult. But we can recognize, or maybe we know, some of their difficulties. We can say these phrases to support their wish that their difficulties diminish. And this wish is a warm-hearted wish. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. May your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. Can we tap into that sense of care and wish for them to have ease and allow that to blossom or flower, grow? May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. Maybe we can touch into the tenderness or poignancy may your difficulties ease. May you experience peace. Now, can we expand this to include ourselves? Our difficulties. In the same way, bringing to mind a version of ourselves, an image of ourselves, any image you choose. May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. Can we do this in a caring way, not demanding, not insisting, just caring? May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. If you feel your compassion is waning, you can do some loving kindness practice, like we started. Or maybe do some compassion practice for the lovable being. Maybe it's a little bit easier there. If you feel overwhelmed or this doesn't seem like the right practice for you right now, you can do some mindfulness practice. Or any kind of heart practice. May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. Connecting again with our intentions. Treat ourselves with respect and warmth. No matter what difficulties we are having, what does it feel like to have compassion for yourself? And then to end this meditation, you can feel your feet on the ground, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Yeah, so sometimes compassion for ourselves is not so easy. We start to have compassion for ourselves, and then maybe there's this little voice that says, yeah, but there was that time that you did that thing, or you didn't do that thing. Or part of this practice is to alleviate some of that authority of that voice. It doesn't mean that we give ourselves a pass for absolutely everything, but it means that we acknowledge that we can't take care of ourselves, and that beating ourselves up isn't the only way, and there's a better way. Sometimes we might just be convinced, well, of course I have to beat myself up because that's what, of course I do. Like, it might not even occur to us that there's an alternative. There is an alternative. And we could have more ease and more freedom in our lives if we can have more self-compassion. So I think it was the last time I taught here, and I apologize, I don't remember who it said, but somebody said, I wish those people who skip out knew how great it is, these small groups. So I'll just put a little plug in there that sometimes it's really nice to connect with other people and to talk about some of these things. We often don't have opportunities to talk about these kinds of topics together. So if you'd like, I'd like to create an opportunity in which we can talk about this idea of compassion for oneself and maybe your experience with it, some of your ideas about it, what you've discovered maybe that gets in the way or what is supportive. I'd like to kind of steer us towards more what's supportive rather than this, yeah, I can't because of XYZ. We probably all know that, but maybe there's a way we can focus on what is a support. How can we create the conditions in which we can have compassion for ourselves in a way that's supportive for our lives and meaningful? So we'll meet for 12 minutes and have this opportunity to talk about this idea of self-compassion. And we will, just to make it easier, let's go in order of the people's birth month. So if you're born in January, you go first. If you're born in December, you go last. And I promise someday I'll come up with something a little more creative than these things, but we'll start with there. So start with going January through December. So have fun. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. And I'd hear some comments or questions, and either specifically on that topic of compassion for oneself, or maybe on what it's like to be in a breakout group, or maybe what it's like when your internet doesn't behave like you wish it would, or that big sign comes up and says breakout rooms will be ending, and you click it, and then zoop, off you go, even though you didn't quite mean that. I think we've all done that. It's right there. Yes, Susan.
Thanks. I was the one that mentioned how I'm always surprised at how surprised I am that I'm so much happier that I did it.
Great.
Yeah, and I just wanted, my group was so supportive as usual, and it's just amazing. And something I didn't really run by my group, but it's been on my mind lately since I'm endeavoring to make self-compassion more primary. And I can run into obstacles. And sometimes I can get around that with my mind if I turn it into like a moral imperative. Because more and more I'm as I learn about trauma and the ways in which we can blow our trauma through each other if we're not mindful of our own wounding. And so if I pose it to myself that if I, for my sila, if I really want to do no harm, I'm going to have to love myself in order to not make mistakes and harm folks. So I thought I could run that by everybody here and be understood.
Nice. Use that as support. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Susan. Yeah, right. So often we unknowingly harm people just through our own wounds. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, I was sharing with my cozy group that I did show some self-compassion towards myself today by debating whether I should join because I was running late from work. And I said, well, I already missed half of the session. Then I feel stressed and my brain is just so full. I said, well, I'm going to join late. And I'm so glad I did. I did find relief and more peace in sitting together and sharing. Yeah. So I think this is a manifestation of self-compassion.
Nice.
Coming here.
Yeah. Taking care of yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Huichi. It's quite something, right? With Zoom, we don't have to tiptoe into the meditation hall. We just show up. We're not disturbing anybody.
I applied to join late. I said, well, you know, teacher may not care. Okay, thank you.
Nice. And I see that Michael put in the chat box, he loves that expression, cozy group. Yeah, that's a nice expression. I like that too. So thank you, guys. Okay, so, Jamie put a little heart in the reaction. You know, I love these silly things, so I'm going to put a little heart in too. And it's the top of the hour. So just with a deep bow to everybody and take good care of yourself and take good care of others too. So thank you. And we can unmute ourselves and say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
So Thank you.
Bye. Stay safe.
Thank you, Marie Christine.